Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you. We appreciate you joining us. We've got an hour and 25 minutes of great content ahead for you, I think. You be the judge of that after an hour and 25 minutes. It'll range somewhere between great and excellent, I think you'll find, between 4 and 5 stars. Joining us here on the program today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here this Tuesday morning.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Yes, good to be back again. Had the pleasure of doing Sandy's show this morning.
Yeah, flew solo?
Flew solo with Dr. Alex McFarland, known to our audience. Mm-hmm. He was in to chat about goings-on at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Baptist Convention's coming up.
Week from today, they'll be
The
actual convention in Dallas.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us from Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing better every day. Thank you very much for asking. I had the car wreck 2 weeks ago tonight.
It's hard to believe it's been that long.
Well, yeah, and then spent 6 nights in the hospital. Mm. And I was thinking about this the other day. When you spend, people who know, if you've spent time in the hospital, it's a weird time warp. I don't know how you describe it. You ever been multiple days in a hospital, Ray?
I have not. Tim, what happened to you is amazing. You spent 6 nights in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. These days, that's a long time.
Yeah, it was 6 nights in the hospital, but I mean, it's like you sort of don't know what day it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never gambled, but this is probably what a casino feels like. You got the windows, curtains drew. No, right. The hospital staff did a great job, and I was very appreciative of that. It's just that you go through, I got a big clock in front of me, and you're just waiting for the doctor's visit. Mm-hmm. The next day to come back in and tell you, you can do this, you can do that, you're improving or whatever like that. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 weeks tonight is when I had my accident on I-22 over by Hamilton, Alabama. But praise the Lord, God, he spared my life. Mm-hmm. If you see that, maybe we need to put a picture of that van up, Walker, okay. My van. But my van looks like an accordion.
Now, Tim, I'm watching you on the live feed. And you look like you've been on the hospital diet here too. Have you lost a few pounds in all of this?
Well, I lost 8 pounds in a week.
Wow.
Just on the IV.
Sure.
Because I'm not eating solid foods. Now, I would not recommend that diet.
No, it's not our first choice.
It's not your first choice of weight loss management.
But you didn't have a choice, did you?
That's right.
I didn't have a choice. But you know what? Also, I was surprised by not having done a lengthy hospital stay myself is that IV, you feel full.
Oh, really?
You're not really hungry for solid foods when that, I don't know what it does to your system, but you would think you would still get hungry, right?
Yeah.
But,
right. Of course, you're not moving around very much.
Duly noted. Mm. You're not moving around, but anyway.
Now, there's something on your right hand there. I'm looking on the live feed.
Yeah, Walker, we're live video feed.
Yes, that's right. We're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues.
Yeah, well, if we're going to continue talking about me,
Tim, I hadn't talked to you since all
Well, that's true. That's true. I did bang my, and I had the internal bleeding that they had to cut me wide open for to do emergency surgery on. Which, praise the Lord, he got the staples out yesterday.
Amen.
If I'm getting too personal, I'm sorry. Staples. I'm not talking stitches now.
Yeah.
I'm talking.
With the staple gun.
With the staple gun, you staple papers together. That's what I had, like 50 of those things. Got those out yesterday, but then I injured my right hand in the accident as well. And I'm not complaining because I, if you see that car, mm-hmm. you would say you should be dead or maimed. Mm-hmm. So I'm not complaining about this, but. My right hand had an injury, and but it was only there's a bone between your finger and your hand called the
Metacarpal.
Yeah, I always thought that was a fish, but
it's actually
you know, I've caught a few metacarpals and some bass one time. But anyway, there's a but it self heals.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying 4 to 6 weeks on that deal, but I have to wear this thing to keep myself from screaming out loud when I accidentally bend it the wrong way.
And it's your right hand and you're right-handed.
Right, which causes problems with the typewriter.
But this isn't going to mess up your golf game.
Oh, yes, it is. It's already messed up my golf game. But hopefully I'll be back out there in July maybe, but I'm missing the whole month of June.
Which is
a problem, but... Thanks for asking. Thanks for everybody's prayers. And I'm on the mend, and I feel more energy every day.
Great.
And it's amazing what it'll do for your attitude when you take 50 staples out of your body. But all right, so we've got a lot to talk about today. Dr. Frank Turk will be along in just a few minutes to discuss with us. He wants to talk about the great news from yesterday from the Supreme Court and the Jack Phillips case. So we're going to discuss that, and we got so much other to talk about. Let's see who will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. It'll be
not today. Sandy's not with us today.
Yeah,
but I thought we had
we talked about McFarlane. Maybe Alex coming in, but he's not going
to
be able to.
Alex didn't want to. We invited Dr. Alex McFarlane in, but he didn't want to.
I'm not going to speak for Alex. No, he is doing some pre-recording with Brother Bert Harper.
Okay.
Excuses.
Yeah. All right, what you got there, Fred?
Well, in connection with the Jack Phillips case, which is all about religious freedom, we just got this story in the newsroom just a few moments ago. This involves a public school teacher in Indiana, Brownsburg, Indiana. Now, a lot of schools across the country now have a policy that if a student comes in and says, and it's a boy one day, but he says, you know what, I feel like a girl today, I'm transitioning. The school policy is the teacher has to start addressing that person by their preferred name. All right?
Is it in Indiana?
In Indiana, at this school. So let me just read you the story that's hot off the press, to use the old term. A central Indiana teacher says a school district forced him to resign following a disagreement over a policy that calls for teachers to address transgender students by their preferred gender name rather than their birth name. And so according to the Indianapolis Star, this former Brownsburg High School orchestra teacher John Klug says the Brownsburg Community Schools policy goes against his religious beliefs and violates his First Amendment rights. And the homosexual community advocates say the practice is a sign of respect and isn't about religion or politics. Yeah? A district representative says Klug resigned before the end of the school year. He says he submitted a tentative resignation letter because officials threatened to fire him. Now, Klug plans to appeal to the school board Monday to get his job back. District officials declined to comment on the policy. So you can imagine, he believes he has a religious right. He doesn't believe that in the transgenderism policy that's there, and he doesn't believe he should have to address this boy who now says, I'm a girl, and you got to address me by my name. By the way, these policies not only apply to teachers, but fellow students, too. And we've done stories on students who, you know, they know him as Charlie. Mm. Now he wants to be addressed as Charlene. Mm. And they say, I can't do that. But this teacher, instead of being fired, he resigned, but he is going to go to court on this. Mm. So that's another case, very similar, again, to the Jack Phillips case and others that we're seeing, where the homosexual agenda is trumping the religious rights of many people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll be following that today for sure.
All right, we have with us Dr. Frank Turek. He's normally with us on Tuesdays, if he can be. Dr. Frank Turek is the president and founder of Cross Examined Ministries, and he's based out of Charlotte, NC. Good morning, Frank.
Tim, why did it have to be staples? I hate Staples.
Well, it could have been Office Depot or Home Depot, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Staples. Why didn't they do, like, tape or stitches?
Hey, I was in no position to argue with these people.
I guess not.
You were unconscious.
I was unconscious. They put whatever they wanted to sew me up. Hey, actually, I think they've been doing that for a while now, the Staples thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, I'm glad you're just back, man. I heard about it and was praying that you're all right, and now you're back on the air. That's pretty quick.
Amen.
That's pretty quick.
I'm pretty tough. Pretty tough guy. So
apparently.
Yeah. You know, 50 staples aren't going to keep me out of this show. I'll tell you that right now. Actually, I'm not. I'm kind of a weenie on on the medical stuff. But
yeah, I hear that if somebody touches your right arm, you'll cry like a little girl.
You know, the old saying, well, that may be true. The old saying, God will only give you what you can bear. Lord knew I couldn't bear much more than what I had to deal with right there. Let's talk, first of all, Frank, about the victory yesterday at the Supreme Court. Jack Phillips, the gentleman from Colorado who's the baker,
right.
And the decision there in his favor, 7-2 by the Supreme Court, that he did not have to make a wedding cake for this gay couple that came in demanding so. Yeah, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously I think it's the correct ruling, although I'm a little bit mystified by how they come to these decisions. It seems like, well, it doesn't seem like, this is what they said, that the reason they came to the decision was because the Colorado entity that it's called the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had an animus toward religious beliefs. That was the real reason. They said, well, you can't disparage religious beliefs, as apparently some of the folks on that commission had done. They had said things like, well, you know, you've used religious beliefs to justify slavery and the Holocaust. And they said that his religious belief should have no bearing on his public life, basically. And so Kennedy, who was the guy who wrote the opinion, Justice Kennedy, said, well, you just have an animus to religious belief and you're not neutral. Now, the question, of course, goes to, well, suppose they were neutral. Suppose they just said, well, we don't have an animus. We just think that the homosexual couple's right to have this person serve them, this Christian by the name of Jack Phillips, serve them in a way that had to use his artistic talents to create a cake, that person's ability or right usurps the right of the Christian. What would have happened then? And this case doesn't really tell us.
Yeah, I think I didn't read the whole case. Abraham Hamilton III for us, our constitutional resident constitutional attorney, has read it. I haven't talked to him since he read the decision. But I think what we're saying here, Frank, is that we agree with the decision, very happy with the decision, but the grounds on which the decision was made seem a bit flimsy. I was thinking the same thing you're thinking and asking the same question. So as they seem to be saying, had the Colorado Civil Rights Commission been nicer,
yeah, right,
that they may have ruled in their favor, but because they were mean, I'm using common everyday language to Jack Phillips because of his religious beliefs, that they didn't seem to rule categorically that Jack Phillips had a right. Because of his religious...
That's exactly right. And for instance, if this, instead of the Jack Phillips case, had been the Baronel Stutzman case, the florist in Washington State, where you didn't have commissioners being mean and nasty to the person in front of them, then the way that the justices reasoned yesterday may have been quite different. That case may have been quite different. So... there is, as you say, Tim, we celebrate it was a 7-2 decision yesterday, but it is so narrow in their reasoning that the possibility that the same court justices could go the other direction, there's great potential for that.
Walker, go ahead, and then Ray.
Yeah, I'm happy for the ruling. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that Jack Phillips won. But as we're all talking about here, I'm reminded of the ruling, this several rulings that struck down President Trump's legal and lawful executive order on travel from the seven terrorist-prone countries. Well, the judges there cited personal animus, unnice comments as a way to strike down President Trump. And I argued that you need a rule on the merit of the case.
Right.
This is the same instance here where Anthony Kennedy, the justice, wrote on and on and on about how unnice the commission was. Mm. But really, I really wish he would have gotten to the basis of the ruling, which it should have been. They need a rule on merit and not people's attitudes toward things.
So, Frank, this guarantees, doesn't it? That I mean, it settles it in one sense that there was a victory for the cake baker, but it also guarantees we're going to see more litigation until the underlying issues are settled. Is that about the right reading of it?
I think that's right, Ray. In fact, in the opinion, it actually Justice Kennedy actually says that. And back to Walker's point, Kennedy is almost famous now for talking about animus. I mean, he talked about it in Romer versus Evans in 1996, which had to do, ironically, with a Colorado gay rights issue. And then I think he used the same term in Obergefell, the case that basically made same-sex marriage, imposed it on the entire nation, even though, of course, marriage isn't in the federal constitution. He used animus as if people who are against same-sex marriage have some sort of animus to people who are homosexual in their orientation.
Yeah.
Which, to Walker's point, is really kind of irrelevant. That's not the point. Is what does the Constitution say? It doesn't matter what the motivation of the people are who are bringing these cases forward. The real issue is what does the Constitution say? And they always kind of dance around that. They don't really talk much about the Constitution. They talk about previous cases, which is sort of like if you're going to seminary and you're trying to figure out what the Bible says, you're reading commentaries on commentaries of commentaries and never getting back to what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a touchy-feely court system out there.
Yeah.
It is avoiding the hard constitutional questions in many respects, and just as Frank just cited, Walker cited, you're having words used in major Supreme Court decisions like animus, and animus is a subjective term, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they use this term mean-spirited or things like this, hostile. And that maybe hostile would be an applicable word here, because they were hostile to Mr. Phillips in his Christian beliefs. But again, that shouldn't matter if it's either it's constitutional or it's unconstitutional. Either you have religious freedom to do what Jack Phillips did, and that applies to Baronelle Stetsman and others across the country. They have a religious freedom right to not have to be forced to participate in a same-sex marriage ceremony, or they don't.
Yeah.
So that question was yet unanswered yesterday.
I think a point we need to make here, Tim, is that there's always this tendency to conflate race with sexual behavior. And you see this even in the opinion, that people who self-identify with some sort of sexual orientation take that to be their identity. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between race, which has no impact on your behavior, and sexual behavior, which is a behavior, obviously. You should have no reason to oppose somebody because they have a different skin color. But you may have a reason to oppose somebody's behavior because you think that behavior may hurt you or other people, or is it somehow immoral? And that's what's so often conflated in our culture today. We say that race and sexual orientation, or I should say sexual behavior, is the same thing. People may not be able to control their sexual orientation. Where your feelings come from, well, that can be debatable. But what you do sexually is always your choice. I mean, just look at the now Me Too movement. No one is saying that because somebody had an orientation to be very aggressive sexually, that their sexual behavior is somehow condoned. You'd have to say Weinstein, there's nothing wrong with him because he just had that orientation to be that way. No, we're saying you're wrong for acting out that way. And I think too often the culture tries to conflate sexual orientation with sexual behavior, or we might say sexual attraction and sexual action. They're two different things. The law can deal with sexual action. It doesn't deal with sexual attraction, although that's what the laws, that's what some of these justices are trying to do now. They're trying to say they're the same thing. If you have the sexual attraction, you've got to engage in the action. Well, that would just throw away all sexual law at that point. You couldn't blame anybody for anything.
Yeah.
Dr. Frank Turek is on with us. Who do you got on your show this weekend?
I know I'll be there.
Okay. So maybe Dr. Frank Turek will be there.
Maybe I'll have the great Tim Wildman on the air.
Well, you can... Okay, if you want to say great, I'll take that. I'll just let you say that about me if you want to.
Now, did I understand, Tim, that you weren't even in Mississippi when this happened? You were in Alabama?
I was in Alabama. I had a banjo on my knee, and that's what caused the accident, actually.
So Allison had to go to Alabama to see you every day?
No. They brought me to Tupelo.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
okay.
I went to the ambulance, Allison. She brought me to Tupelo and took me to the hospital. So. Hey, listen, Frank, thanks so much for being on with us. You don't know what you're going to be talking about this weekend.
Not yet. It might be this subject, though. We will probably touch on that just because it's so important that Christians and even non-Christians have the ability to live out their faith. A faith that you don't live out isn't a faith at all.
Amen.
So you
all right,
be
thanks,
able to
Frank.
Live it
appreciate it, brother.
All right, guys. See you again. God bless.
That's Dr. Frank Turek.
Just before we leave this subject, Jack Phillips was actually interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends, and to get his response to the ruling, we have a little bit of that for you right now.
It's a big win for us, and now we're just looking forward to hopefully getting back into the wedding business, and we'll see how the court ruling affects that.
Wait a minute. You're going to get back into the wedding business?
I got into the bakery business. One of the main reasons is because I love doing wedding cakes.
Okay.
The Colorado Civil Rights Commission took that away from me, and now hopefully we can get back and do the baking that I love.
And you say that, and Kristen, he says they took it away from him because he would not make the cake for the same-sex couple. He felt it flew in the face of his religious holdings. And so the state of Colorado said, if you're going to be a baker, you can't make cakes anymore?
Well, it said a whole lot more than that, and Justice Kennedy reflected that in the majority decision. Jack loves and serves anyone who walks in his store, all walks of life, but he has never promoted all messages through his cakes. So he's declined a number of different cakes, Halloween messages, cakes that would celebrate divorce. So this was just one of many different cakes that he will not bake.
So there you have it. That's a little background to it all, too. He has religious beliefs about Halloween, so he wouldn't bake a Halloween cake. But as you see there, I think what you're likely to see is he'll go back to making wedding cakes and there'll be homosexuals that'll walk into the shop and he'll be challenged again.
Well, we'll see. I tell you, you know, I don't know why these people, by these people, I mean these homosexual activists, Ray, I don't know why they just go down the street and get another baker.
Because the truth of the matter is, the people who came into Jack Phillips' cake shop, they could have done just what you said. They could, and most bakeries, for a variety of reasons, wouldn't hold those convictions. It would be easy to get a wedding cake. Be easy these days, Tim, to get a cake celebrated almost anything you want. They were looking to cause this kind of controversy. Maybe this will be a warning. Maybe this will be a warning to some of the activists. It's okay. Go down the street. Somebody else can bake that cake for you.
I'm glad Frank Turek was making the distinction between sexual orientation, if you will, slash behavior, and race, because I've heard people say, well, you know, the black folks were refused service in the 50s based on somebody's religious perspective or whatever, religious freedom they claimed. I don't remember that. I don't remember that claim being made under religious freedom being denied to deny a minority or black folks service at a restaurant, for example.
Right.
But as Frank laid out, there is a big difference between somebody's behavior and their race, which your skin color is benign. Your sexual actions are controlled and a choice.
That's right.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
on the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki.
From Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Talk.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference coming up August 17th and 18th.
The list of speakers is amazing. We have Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Schuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, Stacy Washington, Lonnie Poindexter, Pastor Dexter Sanders, and we'll be there too.
There's a direct attack by the enemy on marriage and family, and babies in the womb are treated like political footballs instead of life. We want to encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family. If we can get our families on track, a lot of society's problems could be solved. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is from Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The Miss America organization is making some major changes. They're scrapping the swimsuit competition and will no longer judge ladies based on their physical appearance. The Miss America Board of Trustees says they want to be more inclusive and empower women. So instead of skimpy bikinis and high heels, the ladies will be judged on the content of their character. The Miss America tradition dates back to 1921, when it was known as the Bathing Beauty Review, language that is sure to offend in this politically correct day and age. There is one other big change: no more evening gown competition. Instead, the ladies have been told to wear whatever makes them feel confident. So it's possible someone could parade down the runway wearing a snuggie and flip-flops. I suppose it won't be too long before they go gender neutral and drop the word Miss from the competition, for the sake of inclusion. Of course. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net is our email address. You can watch this show live. We're live video streaming this show at Facebook. So go to Facebook and then type in Today's Issues, and you can share your thoughts with other listeners there and comments. Walker's also posting the stories that we're talking about, so you can access those as well. We have a YouTube page, for Today's Issues live stream as well. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Pritchard, Ray is in Kansas City. The rest of us are in Tupelo today doing the show here on American Family Radio. All right, Fred, we want to talk about, for just a few minutes, about Dr. Paige Patterson and the situation with the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah, Southern Baptist Convention delegates this weekend will be heading for their big annual meeting. It's going to be held in Dallas.
Okay.
They'll be gathering.
That's an annual, as you say.
Annual meeting. Okay. They'll be meeting next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
All right.
In Dallas. And, you know, there's always a little bit of controversy in the Southern Baptist. You know, they have to argue about something. But, and I'm a Southern Baptist, so I'm not being critical. But this year, this year, in my experience with Southern Baptists going back about 20 years or so, I know Ray goes back even further, I've not seen such tension amongst Southern Baptists as this year. A lot of it has to do with what has happened with Dr. Paige Patterson. He is formerly now the president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. Back a few weeks ago, somebody started to dig up things about what Paige Patterson counseled people about with regards to divorce 20 years ago. And then that led to some other things, and then the Board of Trustees of Southwestern Seminary met on May 22nd. Magically, on that very day, the Washington Post releases a story about a student at Southeastern Seminary back 15 years ago when Paige Patterson was the president of Southeastern Seminary.
I think that's in Wake Forest.
That's correct. And the story, according to the Washington Post, one of the most left-wing newspapers in the country, was that a student there was raped and that they went to Paige Patterson and he said, don't go to police. That's kind of a summary of the Washington Post story. Dr. Paige Patterson has denied that, said that wasn't the case at all. And last week, people who have worked with Paige Patterson for years presented evidence to back up Paige Patterson, that wasn't the case, that Paige Patterson didn't deal with the Southeastern case at all. It was somebody below him that dealt with that incident.
Of the rape accusation.
Of the rape.
Of one of the students.
Now, the student says she was raped and by another student. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, did she get advice from Paige Patterson not to go to police?
Gotcha.
That has not been proven. It's been denied by Paige Patterson. And then, since then, there is another case at Southwestern University, this going back, I think, 2015, where another student says she was raped. But in this case, Paige Patterson, she did not want to go to police. Paige Patterson told her, you must go to police. The police must be notified about this. All right, so there's been this whole controversy out there involving Dr. Paige Patterson. On May 30th, just few days ago, an executive board of the trustees, 12 men, got together while Dr. Paige Patterson was in Germany on a speaking engagement that had been arranged months ago. These 12 got together and said, you know what? We think the accusations against Dr. Paige Patterson are so serious, because at the May 22nd meeting, he was made president emeritus. He was going to still be allowed to live on campus, et cetera, et cetera. On this May 30th meeting, on this executive group, they decided, no, we want to fire him completely. So Dr. Paige Patterson is in Germany at the speaking engagement. It's midnight in Germany. He gets a call from the chairman of this executive committee saying, we're done with you. You're fired. We're locking all the doors here. When you get back, we're going to cancel your cell phone right now, your credit cards, all of that.
My word. Now, again, you had to remember, this gentleman, Dr. Paige Patterson, has been a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention.
For decades.
For decades. He's also been the, what do you call it? Do you call it when you're the when you're the lead professor at a seminary, right? What do you call that?
Well,
president, you know, of the seminary?
Yeah, sure. He's been the president of two of the Southern Baptist Seminaries, Southeastern, which is in Wake Forest, and he left there in 2003 to come to Fort Worth to be the president of Southwestern, and has been until, as Fred said, just a few days ago. Yeah.
So, I mean, very distinguished career, mm-hmm. So, Fred, just not to get too much into the weeds here, especially for people who are not Baptist, who don't have as much, don't follow this maybe as closely as Southern Baptist people do, and pastors and so forth, because the annual convention is coming up. But the long and the short of it, you've, in the last 24 hours, Dr. Patterson's lawyers have responded,
yes,
to these accusations. Again, there are two accusations. Mm-hmm. One is while he was in Wake Forest as the president of that seminary, Southern Baptist Seminary, and while he was the president of the seminary at Fort Worth. Currently, okay. He was up until recently.
Right.
that he, swept under the rug two different rape allegations.
No, the Southeastern one that he advised the girl not to go to police. In the Southwestern
he's
one.
He's denying that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was basically fired without having an opportunity to to defend himself, true?
Well, in the trustees meeting on May the 30th, they also were upset by the staff member who came forward to try to defend Dr. Paige Patterson with documents from the incident at Southeastern. She published those, including a note that basically said she was sorry she had embarrassed the seminary in her behavior there. This is a Southeastern case.
The point is that Dr. Patterson is, first of all, I don't see why a particular incident on a campus would rise to the level of, this seems like to me it'd be handled by campus police or either by the human resources or by a VP. I just don't imagine, Walker, college campuses where somebody accuses somebody of rape and they go straight to the president's office and he's supposed to say, oh, don't report it to the police.
Right.
That's crazy.
No, many, the Dr. Paige Patterson has put out a press release. His law office put out a press release yesterday.
You read it and I read it.
I read it. It actually disputes the fact that Dr. Patterson was the sole person responsible for the rape accusation victim.
Yes.
All right. There were other layers that the victim, the alleged victim, went through before it made its way to Dr. Patterson. And every individual involved at the moment says that rape was nowhere mentioned in the accusation. It was consensual sex, and the female felt convicted about it, and she wanted to talk to someone about it.
Okay, so could this have been, Fred, maybe we don't know the answer to this yet, could this have been bungled by the people who oversee Dr. Patterson? Because you're talking about 12 men, right?
Yeah,
12 people.
Men.
Well, people—that's a lot of people I don't know. That's a lot of people to get it wrong.
Well, I tell you, we talked with Dr. Alex McFarland.
Okay, what did he say?
Dr. Alex
McFarland.
He's
an SBC guy.
SBC guy for years and years and years.
Okay, what did he say?
Very familiar with the case. He believes what's going on with Dr. Paige Patterson is a witch hunt. That he has enemies that have really nothing to do with these incidents. That they don't.
That's awful.
They don't like Paige Patterson because back in 79-80, he, along with Adrian Rogers, stood firm on the inerrancy of Scripture. And one of the things they had to do was do a house cleaning in the seminaries of the Southern Baptist Convention because they were moving away from the authority of Scripture.
Yeah.
And Dr. Alex McFarland this morning told us, I was doing Sandy Rios' program, he said he actually, when he took over Southeastern, he fired a bunch of professors right
Alex
off the bat.
Did?
No, not Alex.
Dr. Patterson.
Yeah.
Dr. Patterson. He had them come in and basically said, do you believe in the authority of Scripture, yes or no? Those who said no, you don't have a job here anymore. Those who said yes, you stay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what Alex is saying is that he's got Paige Patterson has enemies, and perhaps this has something to do with the witch hunt.
I got you. But this is what Alex calls it, a witch hunt?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's awful. The way I find, if you're going to have an issue with somebody in this situation, you deal with it straight up based on if it's a theological issue, you deal with it that way, Ray, but you don't use trumped up charges against somebody to get rid of him if he hadn't even had an opportunity. It doesn't sound like Dr. Patterson had an opportunity to defend himself. He's over in Germany and gets fired.
Well, it's clear there's more to come out
right.
in this story.
Right.
And Fred, as you know, the big question that's still hanging out in the air is what about the convention sermon?
Yes.
The Southern Baptist Convention starts a week from today. The convention sermon, which is the highest honor I think you can give a preacher in Southern Baptist circles, it's not a week from today, but it's a week from tomorrow. It's on Wednesday morning, and Paige Patterson is still scheduled to give that convention sermon. If you had to put money down on which way that's going to go between now and then, it is really hard to tell. I have a question for any one of the three of you. Suppose somebody out there is Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, anything but Southern Baptist. We spent quite a bit of time talking about this. Tell us why they should care about, if you're not Southern Baptist, why does this matter to Christians in other groups?
Walker?
Yeah, I'll give this a shot. The first thing is, I'm going to eventually get to Ray's question, but the first thing I want to say is, and this is obvious, there is a move, there is a movement amongst the evangelicals in America, the evangelical Christians. There is a movement amongst a portion of them to, they are working in coordination with the mainstream media, the Washington Post, etc., to purify the Southern Baptist Convention and the entire evangelical movement of anyone who holds a conservative biblical worldview, in leadership, that is. Mm-hmm. So they're going one at a time. Paige Patterson is one of the first major ones to go. Doesn't matter if the accusations are true.
So you're saying he's considered a general on the for the conservative movement in the Southern Baptist Convention, and yeah. You're saying the more liberal part of the Southern Baptist leaders want to take him out.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. The Washington Post, they break stories on topics regarding evangelical leaders very often. They work in conjunction. They break stories over the immigration letter that Ed Stetcher, Tim Keller, Russell Moore, and the whole leftist bunch inside the Christian movement, they signed a letter bashing President Trump because of his lawful executive order on immigration, which I think was a great executive order. Guess who broke that story? The Washington Post.
So you're saying that you don't think it's a coincidence that these more quote moderate / liberal folks inside in leadership positions inside the Southern Baptist Convention are working in cahoots with the liberal media to go against. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. To answer your question, Ray, maybe it is. Why should a non-Southern Baptist person care about this story? I think it's what Walker's talking about here. This goes beyond the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm not talking about necessarily the particulars of this Dr. Paige Patterson situation, but the broader problem here is what Walker's talking about, and we've discussed it here on the program, and that is this: the liberal influences from people who have in the past been considered more conservative, there's a real war going on between people who are formerly considered conservative and trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Now they're coming out opposing us, for example, mm-hmm. because maybe we align with President Trump on some issues, and they don't like President Trump, so they're trying to say, how can you, talking about us, agree with President Trump and call yourself a Christian leader? You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Some of this is politics.
Well, and Dr. Alex McFarland, again this morning, the interview that we had with him, he went back and he said, you look at the other mainline Protestant denominations in this country, United Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church USA, Evangelical Lutheran Church. Look what has happened to them over the last 10 to 20 years. When they have moved away from the authority of Scripture, when they do more along the lines of social activism, et cetera, et cetera. Those denominations are suffering. They've lost people.
They're hemorrhaging.
And there is concern that there is a social activist movement now inside the Southern Baptist Convention.
Right.
And
there is.
There is.
But
there
it's
is.
Not, the important note is, it's not like the civil rights movement.
No.
It's not built on a biblical foundation.
That's correct.
It's built on what is trendy and culturally appropriate now.
Exactly.
And that's where the issue arises.
Yes. Right. And that could be decided depending on who is voted in as president next week at the Southern Baptist Convention. But Ray is exactly right. At this moment, Dr. Paige Patterson is still due to give that sermon, which he was voted to give that sermon at last year's convention. He is still scheduled to give that sermon next Wednesday at the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, the only way he can be stopped, correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, the delegates or messengers to the convention could vote to say, we don't want to hear you. Is that correct, Ray?
Well, that's exactly right. Mm. The all the stuff that happened at Southwestern, that's it's an awful mess.
Yeah.
And everybody agrees on that. Go ahead.
Let me just say this, and we'll wrap this topic up. There are liberal forces within every Christian denomination out there trying to usurp the authority of the Bible, for example, trying to, well, I'm just going to boil that down to what the Bible says. And that is Satan wants to destroy the Christian church, mm-hmm. right? The body of Christ, right?
Yep.
That's correct.
And the way you can do that is you take groups of Christians, i.e. denominations, and you destroy them from within. Either you take their seminaries over, and you make them godless, and that's happened to many of the mainline Protestant denominations. We've seen what happened to those churches. They're dying. They'll be dead altogether in about 10 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of warfare is it's really about the authority of God's word, the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And if you can rip that away mm-hmm. and create doubt about the Bible, then ultimately that group of people who had subscribed to the Bible, if they begin to doubt the Bible and the authority of the Bible, that group will die. Yes. I know that's a broad general answer, mm-hmm. but that's what's going on inside the mm-hmm. Christian church in America, mm-hmm. and it's in all denominations, mm-hmm. and in a lot of churches, and maybe even aren't denominational churches, but that is the ultimate war that's going on here, and we'll see what happens. That's why, folks, you need to be you need to be careful about the church that you join and you go to, mm-hmm. and what they believe and what they subscribe to, because oftentimes this is insidious, mm-hmm. But there is definitely war going on inside the Christian church in America, over the authority of the Word of God. You're listening to did that answer your question in 3 minutes or less, Ray?
Well, it did, and Christians everywhere ought to be concerned.
Yes.
And I would ask our listeners to pray for the Southern Baptist as they come to meet there. It's the largest Protestant denomination mm-hmm. in America, hugely influential. What happens with the Southern Baptist, trickles down in a lot of different directions. So let's pray that there could be truth could come out, God's will could be done, and unity on the basis of truth could prevail in Dallas.
What Ray just said, unity on the basis of truth. Mm-hmm. You can get unity if everybody just puts up surrender, okay, mm-hmm. I'll go along. Mm-hmm. But it has to be unity based on truth, biblical truth.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. I'm a little bit suspicious, more than a little bit suspicious, of some of these, I'm not going to name names, of people who are, when I hear about the names that are out to take down Paige Patterson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, this is not to say Paige Patterson couldn't have done something wrong. He's denied it. We're all capable of doing things that are wrong, that are maybe even disqualifying to us as Christian leaders. But when I hear the list of names of people that are out to get him, mm-hmm. it makes me suspicious that it is a witch hunt and not a legitimate complaint. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So the president withdrew his invitation to the Philadelphia Eagles football team to come to the White House, Fred?
Yes. I was going to say, I guess this is typical President Donald Trump.
Well, now, they weren't going to go anyway, though. Isn't it kind of who disinvited who first or something like that?
Well, here's what happened. It's tradition, winning teams, sure. whether it's hockey or baseball, football. When they're the champion, they get to go to the White House, and the president honors them for their
right.
success. And so today was to be the day that the Philadelphia Eagles – who were the champions in the NFL, were to go to the White House, and there are about 70 of them, I guess, on the team all total, players and coach, that sort of thing. They're supposed to go, and they're honored by the president. The president says, way to go, we're very proud of you. And there was going to be a celebration there, United States Marine Band, United States Army Corps, about 1,000 people total at this event. Well, here's what happened. A bunch of Philadelphia Eagles players have expressed their dislike for President Trump. They don't like, and they don't like his criticism of those NFL players who have taken a knee during the playing of the national anthem. This has been going on now for the last year and a half or so. And so at the end of the day, there were only going to be about 9 of them show up for this event today at the White House. And so President Trump said, heck with that. None of you are invited here. We're going to have a good time here. We're going to have these 1,000 people. We're going to have a party. We're going to honor our military. We're going to honor them by playing the national anthem. So we're not going to have people here who are disgruntled over one thing or the other. So, Philadelphia Eagles, the welcome out has been taken away.
The only part I don't agree with on the president, if you have members of the Philadelphia Eagles team who want to come to the White House, I think they should be welcome. Going to be welcome?
Well, I'm not sure if those nine will attempt to show up, but the official invitation to the team has been withdrawn.
Yeah, that's because they weren't going to come.
That's the majority of them.
That's so fantastic. So you're breaking up with me? No, I'm breaking up with you
first.
Yeah. That's right. Forget it.
You know, the interesting thing is here that the National Football League owners, a couple, 3 weeks ago, made a unanimous decision that their employees, i.e. the players, will all be required to stand for the national anthem.
Or, if they're going to protest, do
they
it
stay
inside
in the locker room.
Stay in the locker room.
So, the owners of the NFL teams did respond to President Trump, because he was the most vocal critic of the players and the owners who allowed this to go on, but also to the fan bases out there. 10 to 20% of the fan base, maybe more, arguably 10%, I think you could demonstrate quit watching the games, or going to the games, maybe more, because of the protest by us. But by the way, this is not to defend all the NFL players, but it was only like 10% of the NFL players that were taking a knee. 90% of the players did not. Okay, so keep that in mind. I'm just saying, to be fair about this whole situation. And probably those 90% were embarrassed by the other 10% taking a knee during the national anthem. So there wasn't an enormous percentage of NFL players who participating in this taking a knee during the national anthem. But the owners got it. This was going to ruin their brand, their corporation, and hurting them financially. And so they took a stand and made a policy that you must stand for the national anthem. But anyway, this is a carryover from last year with the Philadelphia Eagles winning the national championship, or winning the world championship. So anyway, we'll see. But President Trump said, well, you're not coming, you're not invited. Like Ray said, I'm breaking up with you first. I'm breaking up with you first. You know,
and he's going to go ahead and have the party anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're uninvited, but we don't care. We're having a party.
We paid for the band, so.
That's right.
We're going to play.
That's right. The food's already ordered.
Here's the thing. If I'm the coach of the Eagles, I would say you're going to the White House in honor of the office of the president, even though you might not like his politics. And, you know, in history past, meaning in the former administration, there would be one or two people who would not go to the White House on these teams for President Obama, because they didn't like his stance on the pro-life issue, et cetera, et cetera. But never have you had 40 people say we're not going to the White House. So you can't have it both ways.
I don't know. When you get into that, Walker, you're. I understand what you're saying, but these are professional athletes that are paid. I mean, they're not college students. So I don't know if you can compel them, you know what I'm saying, to go to the White House like you could a college team, or you'd be required to go.
Well, if they don't want to go, then they get the invitation pulled. But they just don't need to complain about getting the invitation pulled like they are when they weren't going to go anyways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just say, you know, whatever. I just go to the White House and let the president recognize you for being world champions, and then go home.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me be that hard. But we will. But I got to tell you, President Trump had the last word on on who's going to be what's going to be going on at the White House, and whether the players in the NFL are going to be standing for the national anthem or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Fred, thank you for your contribution.
Good to be here.
Ray Walker and yours truly will be back with Chris Woodward in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.